Blog Talk Radio.
Working full-time? Raising a family? Who said that means you have to put earning your degree on hold? Bluefield College offers a convenient, personal, and affordable online program designed to fit your lifestyle and budget. Christ-centered, student-focused education, 100% online. Classes start August 22nd. Learn more at bluefield.edu.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Pastor Valerie Burrell, and I'm grateful tonight to have with me as our speaker, teacher, preacher for the evening, my husband, Elder Benny Burrell. Honey, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
And thanks for having me.
Amen. Tonight I'm excited. My husband generally plays the role of this quiet guy, but he is a man full of wisdom and a student of the word. And tonight he's going to be sharing with us from the topic, the functioning dysfunctional. And when he shared that with me, just the first thing, I was like, oh, ooh, ouch, 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 because just in the topic, the functioning dysfunctional, I could see so much. I mean, just so much. And so I'm going to try to hold my mule and let my husband navigate, but I am excited. I tell you all, I am so very excited about this release on tonight, and I believe that as he has been empowered and preparing to release this word, that each of us will equally be empowered on this evening. So, honey, I'm going to turn it over to you. You can open us up with prayer, and then you can move as the Lord leads. Amen?
Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the insight of your written instructions and your word that will allow us to clearly see what you would have us to do through this journey in life. Thank you, Father, for not only the physical vision, but spiritual vision to discern the snares of the enemy. We thank you for assignments given in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 32. And more importantly, thank you for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, who help us prepare others to convey your word. Lastly, Lord, speak your words this evening through this humble servant so that every listener ear on this broadcast and all over the world will be empowered to seek thee. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As we, as I've been looking at different things that's going on in the world, I noticed that the things that is going on is a lot of dysfunctional things. And if we rely on the word, we'll understand why there's these things are occurring. So I just thought, you know, a good topic would be defunctioning dysfunctional, because that's what happens. And so in preparation, I looked at a lot of different scriptures. Most of the time when we talk about dysfunctional, we're thinking about dysfunctional families, but there's a lot of other things that go on before you can get to a family. So as I looked, it took me to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And into the International Standard Version reads as this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purifying us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make out we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us, because we know his word is true.
Yeah.
Therefore, but after, you know, looking at that, that's when I started looking at the functioning dysfunctional. Everybody, a sinner, and we're saved by grace.
Yeah.
And so I looked at, in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, defining dysfunctional, and I didn't use all of those things that it said. I just picked out a few, and it says abnormal or unhealthy and interpersonal behavior. And some of those things, you know, just like it says interpersonal behaviors, unhealthy, defective, flawed, sick, and we use some of these words when we describe people, you know, and maladjusted, defective. And I know nobody wants to be called those things, you know. And, of course, this is the empowerment place.
Mm-hmm.
So those words wouldn't empower anybody. So we don't want to be using those type of words to describe people. But what we have to understand is they're true words.
Yeah.
And it's true about us because we're born to sin. Are we dysfunctional because we are poor, a victim of a criminal act, fatherless, motherless, or just plain dysfunctional?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are things that we need to think about. Now, when we look at functional, that's practical, useful, handy, serviceable, operable, profitable. These are the things that are of God: dynamic, efficient, effective, employable, being able to get the things done that we need to get done. We can be dysfunctional, but also functional.
Y'all wanted to let him just roll, but he's just hitting on some stuff. So in your descriptive, Sonny, of being dysfunctional, and the things that you rendered based on the dictionary, we see in the natural, but we also have to recognize spiritually, and I don't want to get ahead of you, but when we look at socially impaired, we look at those, and I think of temperament, because you and I had talked about this briefly, but when we look at the socially impaired, we see those who are introverted, or, you know, don't want to be around a lot of people or have all these phobias that keep them away, at not realizing that this really does have some dealings with who God made us to be, and not, we're not all the same. And I think sometimes what we see, as much as we know that we have dysfunctions, some of our characteristics are dysfunctional because of the way that we relate to certain things. I'm posing a question, and it may redirect you in a sense, but my question to you, as we are functioning dysfunctional and we look at what dysfunction means, what do you feel is the root of that? Because we have an opportunity, as you state, we are in the empowerment place. It is our mandate and assignment in the earth to empower people beyond their place of dysfunctional living, although they're functioning, to get them beyond that place, to get to a place of true functionality, not only in social realm, in their community, mentally, in relationships, and all of those things. What do you think is the deterrent that keeps us stuck from functioning the way God would have us function?
That was the whole thing. It's if we take God out of the equation, then we will remain dysfunctional, because he give us the tools to use in his word to put ourselves back on track. Knowing that we are forgiven for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a judge used to always tell the people after he convict them and allow them to walk out of there, he says, go and sin no more.
Mm.
And that's what we have to do. We have to constantly coach ourselves not to do the things that we used to do. The old things are gone away and the new.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we look at dysfunctional, you know, we're not just socially dysfunctional. We are also spiritually dysfunctional to the point that we feel stuck in a rut, causing us to point finger and blame others for our deficiencies. When we should be developing an empowering attitude through the Word of God. And so as we deliberate in our Bible study on Wednesdays, Seeking Truth, this year, with much discussion about the importance of knowing what's causing unwanted behavior and knowing who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, we emphasize in who we are. But we spend a lot of time talking about generational curses, strongholds, spiritual warfare, deliverance, being salty, our purpose, understanding seasons, the Boaz and Jezebel spirit. We talk about prayer, increase, and being obedient. And that's one of the main things that I think that keeps people from doing, keeps people being dysfunctional,
right.
Not having the obedience to follow what God has already charged us to do.
Can I pose another question, honey?
Yes.
So I know the importance of obedience to you, and you've commended me and those that are connected with us closely about our willingness. No, not our willingness. But we have to be willing as well. Our mindset of obeying God, realizing that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so when we look at those who are operating in a dysfunctional manner, even with the things that you listed that we've gone over this year, do you feel like a big part, again, of this is our unwillingness to accept who God says we are, or is it just our unwillingness to want to obey God's word? Are we just being selfish? Do we not trust him? Do we not? I mean, what keeps us dysfunctional when we have the ability to be made whole because of him and his word, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us?
Well, those things that you mentioned, I would say all of the above. Because everybody operates in a different way, but certainly, most of it is not being obedient to what the word says. And some people don't know the word because they never pick it up, or they believe everything that someone else tells them, and they rely on just that. If someone tells them something, that's what they go by. And, you know, I think we discussed this past week, too, having come up in the in a Baptist church setting, understanding the church covenant,
mm-hmm.
how if you take the church covenant and you really break it down the way it's read, that right there shows some dysfunction because
mm-hmm.
people don't do what...
They don't take heed to the covenant.
No.
It's just words.
It's just words, and mm-hmm. we read them on the on whichever Sunday they read it, and nobody pays attention. You have to dissect that and relate it, but to the Bible or to the Word of God, and be able to understand that those things are not good for us.
Can I bring this home?
Yeah.
In a manner of stating, when we look at functioning dysfunctionals, if we look at this in the realm of relationship, there are many people who at this very moment are functioning in dysfunctional relationships. relationships where there is abuse, misunderstanding, unequally yoked, in relationship for convenience and not relationship based on God's plan. It's just an exercise of being able to make it. When people say, well, our net worth together is this, that, or the other, and because of that, we'll go ahead and do it, or because our families expect us to do this, that, or the other. When we look at functioning dysfunctional in the area of relationships, I'm talking about husbands and wives, now not even to the relationship of Father God and us, because that's important as well. But when we look at the relationships between husband and wife, I can say for many years I was dysfunctional, yet functioning as I thought, functioning the way that I thought it was best for me, not always considering God's plan. And so as we are now, I forget how long we've been married. It's just been that wonderful. For as long as we've been married now, I can see God's hand in now my relationship with my husband is no longer dysfunctional. I have my dysfunctioning moments, but the relationship as a whole is now functional because I have yielded my will to God's plan. What do you suggest to those who may be listening who are dealing with dysfunction in the realm of relationships? What do you say? What do we say to them?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, we always say this, you know, people used to buy these bracelets, and since I even thought about it, I've seen them, maybe one or two, to say, what would Jesus do? We you know, I don't particularly like that, but I would say that, what would Jesus have me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm studying the Word, I understand what God says the husband is supposed to do, the wife is supposed to do, then I would yield to the Word. I'm going to always yield to the Word. And I think it was, I can't remember who said this, but I do know her name. I just can't think of it at the moment. And I shouldn't say it if I don't remember her name. But everybody knows who she is, and everybody knows that she said this. But she said, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was Maya Angelou's. I'm not positive. But when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you've studied the Word, when you know what the Word says, then that's what you have to do. You have to yield to it and follow it.
Amen.
So I think that's the key to relationships that way. And once you build that type of relationship, of course, your spiritual relationship is going to be strong as well with God.
Amen. 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 So if we have been functioning as a dysfunctional, which many of us face, what is the Word telling us to prompt us to redirect and function according to His plan and purpose?
Well, you know, if we look at Matthew 12:31 through 33, and it says, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven,
mm-hmm.
but blaspheming against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So, you know, whatever dysfunctional behavior you have, God will forgive you. But you got to, you know, now He's not going to keep on saying, "I forget." I'm going to once you're born again, then that's where you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You are a new creature, and you shouldn't be doing the old things.
Mm-hmm.
But so you know, when we look at that, you know, we're going to be forgiven for a lot of things, and there's been a lot of dysfunctional people in the Bible. I won't even we don't have time to go into naming all of those, but God you know, he will forgive us. You know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and the truth is not in us. That's in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's in 1 John 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll find that in that chapter. So there are so many things that we, you know, we can do. You know, Ephesians 4:22-32, and I just read the first verse 22. It says, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desire. That right there tells us that there's some dysfunction going on right
mm-hmm.
there, and that's in the Word. So we just need to follow what God's plan is for us.
But when we go back to Ephesians, baby, when we look at the fact that we were dysfunction, we also look at the remedy, and the remedy says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes, and we've talked about that, I believe, in seeking truth as well, about forgiveness. You know, not carrying around and harboring those feelings that you have against someone, because that right there is another dysfunctional behavior, being unable to forgive.
A question was just sent to you, husband. And the question is, what happens when there is dysfunction, but because it's working, you think you are functioning? And that's powerful, because
that's exactly what
that's what you're saying, that that's where we all are, because we've been able to conform to whatever the situation may be or whatever the dysfunction is that's taking place in our lives. Because it appears to be working, we don't take the time to look within to find out what the truth is and to see what underlying or what root cause is there that keeps us stuck. And I think that even with this, I'm talking.
Yeah, because, that's exactly what I was thinking
mm-hmm.
when I thought about this. It says the functioning,
mm-hmm.
dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So you're functioning because you don't want to rid the you don't want to rid this situation. You don't want to get rid of domestic assaults is one of the main things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an old song that I heard on the radio the other day as I was changing stations, you know, where the man was saying it was cheaper to keep her.
Mm.
That's to me, to answer that question, yes, that's what it's saying, that it seems to be a perfect situation that you're in because of some financial reason or, you know, something like that. But most of the times in domestics, it's not going to change unless someone does something to change it.
We received another question. If the person doesn't mind, can I bring you live if you would press 1 so that we can hear your heart? I hear what you're saying. The question has been posed. Some feel the expectation of functioning is perfection, yet no one is perfect. Well, we are made perfect in Him. And I think this is something that we've talked about in our studies. As we are growing in grace, as we understand the truth of what Jesus did on the cross, our sins were forgiven. They were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. We're made now new creatures, and we have the capability within us to live a holy and righteous life before God. Now, will we err? We will. But we are made in His image and His likeness. We are God's ambassadors in the earth, and we have choices that we make. Now, if we get up daily, and honey, I'm talking, and you just take this from me, but when we Yeah, that's good. When we are going through, state that. Amen.
We're moving a little bit fast, but that's all right. I had some notes here, and I don't believe she's seen all of them.
I haven't.
But she was going to where I was going next. And the bottom line is that we all live in the land of decision and choices. It is God who has given us the instructions to make. And we have the ability to make our lives functional through all the dysfunctional issues that plague the world. We can do that by getting into the Word, studying, doing the things that God wants us to do. We know that with God all things are possible, but they are only possible for those who believe. So if you don't believe that things are possible, then. But yes, we're born in sin, but we have to strive every day.
We were born in sin, but Christ, we talk about that. We were born in sin. That's true. That's what the Word says.
Yeah.
But when Christ came on the scene, his purpose was that he make life well for each of us. He died for our sins. He died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And when we really believe that word and we hold on to what it is that he's done for us, though we, and this takes me back, babe, when we did the thing a couple weeks ago, Pastor Linda's, about the mirror, about what we see when we look in the mirror. And if we look in the mirror, we see, if we're not seeing him, then what we see are our dysfunctioning attributes that may hinder us from really moving forward and what God wants us to do. This is good.
But yes, that is true. That is true. If we're not, you know. Wow. When this morning,
mm-hmm.
Bishop Henderson
mm-hmm.
touched on all the same thing.
Yes.
And it's all about, the bottom line is all about salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot move forward until we start to do the things that we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't allow ourselves to be functioning, dysfunctional.
And if we say we are functioning, but yet we have dysfunctional attributes, are we adhering to his kingdom plan? If we are, and this is just something that popped into my head, to my spirit, that if we're operating, if we are dysfunctional, dysfunctional in our mindset, in our spirit, it's like we talk in a talk, but we not walk in a walk.
Yeah, that's
correct. Like we're putting on a face before man, but we have no accountability with God.
Right.
I mean that's what I'm feeling in my spirit now. We have several callers on the line tonight, and we still have about 15 minutes. So if there are any questions or comments that you'd like to make, please press 1 and we can bring you live. Again, if there's a question or a comment that you have, if you press 1, we can bring you live so you can pose that question to Elder Benny. Go ahead, honey. Yeah. We're talking about salvation?
Yeah, when we talk about salvation, through his death, he paid the price to set people free from their sins. They committed under the first promise. You know, when we talk about, when going back to the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
and moving forward, you know, he did all this so that those who are called, and which is everybody should be ministers of reconciliation.
Amen.
Everyone. But some people don't operate as ministers of reconciliation.
They don't even operate as his children.
So they're not going to, you know, and of course, if you're called, which we all are called, you're going to be guaranteed inheritance if you accept in Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, again, we all live in this land of decision and choices. He gives us the decision to choose, and some of our choices are not good. And I've made some choices that weren't so good. But it's time for me to get it right, because I know that the road to
where God wants
to take us. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to make it narrow for me. I mean, it's narrow. It's getting narrow.
Narrow is the gate.
You know, when you get to the gate, it gets narrow. But we just need to do. But here's the other thing,
mm-hmm.
is every one of us, ministers of reconciliation, if you don't know, if someone doesn't know the word, then we have to, it's our job to get them to where they're supposed to be.
Empower them to the word. Wow. Okay, so, wow. This is good, because I'm just hearing so many things now in the spirit about this functioning, our ability to function while we twisted. I remember that there used to be a preacher who used to say, I'm going to fake it till I make it. That's a functioning dysfunctional, faking it till you make it. And some will say, well, I mean, unless they will prove for, no, they were living a lie is what they were really doing. And when we are dysfunctional, according to God's plan for our lives, if we are, you know, straddling the fence, if we are lukewarm and he's spewing us out because we've not been able to make a cold, hard decision to live for Christ, if we're doing those things, then are we willing to accept the consequences behind our functioning? And even as I look at this, I'm hearing God, because God has been dealing with me about the Cinderella story, and we all know that, and that's just what God has got heavy on my heart that we'll talk about next week at Kingdom Church. But we have got to come to a place in our lives as individuals, honey, I think in order to really affect the kingdom, we've got to come to, again, a self-awareness. And that's the benefit and the beauty of what God does with us and those connected to us with the empowerment place. We don't try to put our thumb on anybody to make them feel any kind of way, but we trust that the Holy Spirit will put pressure on us to conform to what God wants, instead of us just doing it and saying, well, it's not hurting anybody but me. Well, God doesn't even want you hurt. You know, if we are his, if he's our father, and when we have promises, then it should be our desire to get everything that God has for us. And what he has for us, we're able to have. So we have another question. Once you find out the true cause of your dysfunction, now what? Should one submit to God's counsel, godly counsel, prayer, and supplication? Now what? Good question. Once you find the true cause of your dysfunction, now what? That's like with anything that we face in life. Once you find the root cause of what's been causing a situation to happen, we dealt with this when we looked at spiritual warfare strongholds some months ago. When you find out what it is, you deal with the root of the thing. You get that thing up from the very root, because as long as the root is there and as long as it has ability to continue to grow, you can't snip it. But if you go to the root and you dig that thing up and you put the word on that situation, that's your first thing. Now, should you submit to godly counsel? You absolutely need godly counsel in your life, because people, and counselors, hats off to you, because I'm one. But depending upon the type of counsel that you seek, you will get a remedy based on their specialty. Godly counsel will be that counsel that deals with your temperament and God's word, biblical counseling, which will give you remedy from the word and God's perspective and not man's perspective. So, yes, godly counsel will be necessary in dealing with the root cause of the dysfunction. And yes, prayer and supplication. The word tells us that some things only come through fasting and praying. And maybe you'll have to pray and fast and turn your face to seek what it is, God, what is causing this dysfunction? Why do I keep functioning in this thing knowing that it's causing me discomfort? Why am I keep doing this when I know that it's manifesting in the lives of my children and generations to come? Why am I still doing this? Yes, you will have to pray. You will have to fast. You will have to submit yourself to God's word and his plan. And what now? Now that you have an understanding of what's required, now that you're going to make the decision to get in the word, to hear what God is saying, to have the necessary conversations with him. Yes, maybe you'll have to seek out some godly counsel where you can talk to your leaders or seek out licensed Christian counselors for understanding about who you are and how it relates to what's going on, the dysfunction that you're facing in your life. Once you get understanding, you deal with it accordingly, and you grow from it. You grow from it. I hope that's answering your question. Babe, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you, but I want to go back to the question about perfection. You know, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But our job,
mm-hmm.
but our job is to give it all we got. Give God all we got to try to do that. We're not going to ever reach perfection, but we can do the best we can because we know we have that dysfunctional trait. To reach perfection, we're not going to do that. I remember when I was eight or nine years old, just before my father passed away of a heart attack. And he brought us all into the living room because he wasn't happy with one of my teenage sisters. But he brought us all in the living room, and he says, "Whatever you do in life, I want you to be better than me." And so that's been a driving force behind me, treating people right, doing the right thing. And I haven't done it perfect. I've made some mistakes along the way. But, you know, and so when you look at what God wants us to do is he wants us to give our best effort in trying to achieve perfection. We're not going to achieve it because we have our faults. But that's the only way that I can answer that question. But I thank you for at least posing it to us.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you. Wow, honey, this is good. This is good. You have something else in your notes, and this was this might help some of us. If you would share some of that, and you know, what his desire is, I feel, and what I'm feeling even now is that when we look at our lives and we realize that there are some issues, some dysfunction, some challenges that keep us from really functioning in what God has called us to do, we have to know that we are not alone. Share some of this, because my husband, okay, he went in the Word. He's been in the Word, I'm telling you. And he said, this is a prevailing trend of unhealthy relationships or unhealthy issues people dealt with in the Bible. If we go to Genesis 3:12, Adam, the first man, was a blame shifter who couldn't resist peer pressure. Come on, we know that story. Genesis 3:6, Eve, the first woman, couldn't control her appetite and had a first eating disorder. Oh, that's good. Come on, Cain, the firstborn, he murdered his brother. Dysfunctional. Noah, the last righteous man on the earth at the time, was drunk and slept in the nude. Did some things. Although here he is, being a forerunner to carry on what God, he still couldn't keep it together. Abraham in Genesis 12 and 20, Abraham, the forefather of faith, let other men walk off with his wife on two different occasions. Sarah, a gorgeous woman, popular, let her husband sleep with another woman and then hated her for it. This was in Genesis 16. Job, in Job 2:9, was the epitome, had the epitome of faith. But he had to deal with a nagging and faithless wife. See, some of the dysfunctions that we're facing, some of the things that we see that others are encountering are things that also took place in the Word. Jacob, who was wrestling, in Genesis 25:27-30, although he did that, wrestled with God, he was a deceiver. And it keeps going on and on. I mean, he has a great list. Numbers 12, Miriam, the songwriter, had sibling jealousy and a greed of power. These are things that happen in the Word of God. These were dysfunctions that are recorded in the Word. That are some of the things that we may be facing, or we know individuals who may be facing now that really hinder us from functioning according to God's will, plan, and purpose for our lives. Honey, we're down to about 3 minutes. If there were other questions, we still have several people on the line. You can press 1 and you can pose your question. Amen. If not, honey, I'm going to let you close us out. Amen. Wow, it was great.
Say, Father, thank you for this opportunity of being able to share with your
mm-hmm.
people the Word. And I hope that I was able to share with them what you would have me to share. Thank you, Lord, for the empowerment place and the opportunity that it presents to others.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you for seeking truth.
Thank you, Lord.
So where we get into some good conversations about your Word, Lord,
yes.
And giving us the energy, the everything that we need to try and follow your Word.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we know that we're not perfect, and sometimes we may feel dysfunctional, but we know that you are controller of all things.
Mm-hmm.
You've given us that power here on earth to be able to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
To overcome all of the things that we think that hinder us, the strongholds, the generational curses. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, enabling us to discern these things that are hindering us from moving forward. Thank you and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we bless God for all that Elder Benny shared tonight. Amen. That's going to be sitting on me for a minute, functioning, dysfunctional, because I want God to reveal to me if there's any area of dysfunction still in my life. I want it to come to the forefront. I want to deal with it because I want what God has for us. And if there's anything that hinders it, I'll out of the way. Amen. I want to share with you all, we will have prayer in the morning at 5 a.m. We hope that you join us. If you're not able to join us, please send your prayer request. Find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or email me at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. Next week, I'm going to ask Pastor Linda, if her schedule will allow, to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about intimacy. There were some things that we shared last week that prompted some new things, and so we are going to, if her schedule allows, talk about intimacy again next week. On next Sunday at 9 a.m., I will be speaking at Kingdom Church here in Richmond at 3630 Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia. We hope to be able to be with us. As always, we love you. God bless you. Do something today, tomorrow, and the next day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all. Good night.